This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello and welcome along to the latest edition of Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, the tennis betting podcast brought to you in association with Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. I'm Nigel Seeley, I'm your host, and I'm delighted to say joining me is our senior ATP Tour handicapper, it's Sean Calvert. Sean, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
All right, not bad. Took the dog for a walk, watched a bit of tennis, it rained off, got a bit bored, lost some money on the tennis.
I wish mine had been rained off.
I know.
There's no rain in Marrakesh, unfortunately. I had to suffer through two consecutive matches. I had two screens on at the same time watching two matches, both lost. So I've not had a particularly great day either. Muller got absolutely bet so heavily, didn't he? 1.9 into about 1.6. Went 1 from 10 on breakpoint chances. And I can remember every single one of those breakpoint chances that he didn't take.
I bet you can.
And Moutet, if anyone didn't watch Moutet, he was 1.16 in play after the first set. Got really annoyed about one particular call. He does this a lot, Moutet. Just one thing can set him off and he doesn't forget it. And he went on and on and on about it the whole match. He ended up smashing about 5 or 6 rackets, got a point penalty. In the end, he just chucked his racket over the fence. So there you go. That's the sort of day I've had.
Well, some people get, you know, you're one of these people who knows every point. You watch everything, you ride, you watch every single match. Some bettors don't. I don't. I actually don't because I don't watch
a lot of them. Today I did because I was here and they were on and, you know, I wanted to watch them. But yeah, I prefer not to, but on this occasion I did.
So, but you know, from strategy, you know, people will be watching this or listening to this and they're thinking to themselves, well, okay, the guys have bet something at minus 110 that's gone off at minus 160, something like that. You know, my long-term strategy is if we're doing those kind of things, we're going to win. You know, I don't really worry about it. I
mean, yeah, I'm not worried about it. It's just frustrating when you're watching it, watching a guy say, fail on 9 out of 10 breakpoint chances. And if you watch it, it winds you up, doesn't it? And that's the problem. So I try not to watch it as much as possible, but you can't help it, can you? You're tempted. You go, you turn it off and then you think, oh, he might be doing all right now. And you sort of turn it back on and it can be a frustrating experience. But as you say, you know, if you're betting at the right prices, you know, it's not ultimately you'll win, won't you? That's the long and short of it. We beat the closing line there by a long chalk, and there we are. But
there is some kind of sort of, I watch these matches and I think to myself, well, I'm on it now. I'm watching the television, and all of a sudden, I think I've said this to you before. When I turn over, the guy has an absolute disaster of patch of the match, and I turn back and he breaks him back straight away. So I don't really watch it. And I think sometimes, you know, people get too involved. I think sometimes when you watch too much.
I did sport, today. There was all sorts of language coming out of this room today, I can tell you that.
Well, that was Lagan. You were out doing the gardening.
All stars. He wasn't. He probably was using that sort of language, but not here, yeah. Just somewhere else.
But I do think sometimes we spend too much energy watching these things and going through these. I mean, like I said, when I was betting quite heavily, I had a big full head of hair, and I did. And now I've got no hair.
Did you?
I honestly did. I will post a picture. I will post a picture on Twitter, on Instagram, on the Because We Win site with me pre-betting days. And I had a big, long hair. I was like something from the Happy Mondays. If you've never seen the Happy Mondays, Google the Happy Mondays. I was into like sort of the Manchester.
I used to have a ponytail as well, long hair, all that stuff. I know people aren't going to believe that, but...
Have you got a picture of you on the ponytail?
I should have, yeah. Should have something.
Dig one out. Let's have a look. It's a retro kind of.
It would have been sort of
Calvert days.
About 1991, 92, that sort of era when I had quite a long hair. I know people aren't going to believe it, but that's true. Yeah,
I had hair all the way down to my sort of.
Did you?
Yeah, honestly, I had really, really long hair. Because I was into that sort of grungy kind of scene at the time. The old
music. I need to see these. We all need to see these.
Yeah. I don't think I've got one that bad. My mum will have one, but I've definitely got one where I've got like, I look like something from a boy band, believe it or not.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I will post it. I'll find one, dig one out and post it. Anyway, enough about the retro when we had hair and stuff like that. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, sometimes when you watch too much sport, you suddenly physically become involved and you lose so much of, you know,
you need
go through so many emotions. And sometimes
definitely.
It's quite nice to just go out for the day, take the dog for a walk.
Yeah, definitely.
And see what's going on. And that's
100%
where
yeah.
I am anyway. Okay, let's move on to today. Estoril washout. Absolute washout today. Weather looks a little bit
more
better tomorrow, though, doesn't it?
It does. Are you going to be there? What? You'll get there tomorrow night, will you, or something?
No, we're going early. First flight out of Heathrow, 7 o'clock in the morning.
All right. Okay.
We'll be there by 10, but we're actually going to the tennis on Thursday, which looks quite nice. We're there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the weather looks okay, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to be all right today. I mean, we only got three games of Correa, didn't we, against Van der Zanske? Well, obviously he lost all three of them. And then it didn't look that bad, the weather, but it was just enough for it to be unplayable, I suppose. I don't know whether they'll put it on again later tonight or whatever, but yeah, pretty grim day at the minute.
The thing is, did you notice the money movement for that Van der Zanske match? There was a lot of money for and then it sort of flipped around towards the end. It went for Bosic Van der Zanske early. Then there come money for the other side. And then rightly off, there was a lot of money for Bosic Van der Zanske, and he got an early breaker.
Maybe injury or something that someone knows about.
I just think some of these 250 matches are a little bit like when we talk about strategies on betting, a 250 event, maybe or a 500 event, whichever you play, I mean, we should think probably a little bit more about the times of volume you have to have on these, especially in the first round. But there was some very strange betting patterns on that Bosic Van der Zanske match.
Yeah, I mean, the Shevchenko match in Marrakesh as well. But Berrettini was bet very, very, very heavily, wasn't he? Yeah. I mean, Shevchenko went out to about 2.75 from evens, which immediately, knowing who's involved, that sets alarm bells ringing, doesn't it? And I watched that match. He didn't put any effort into that at all. I know Berrettini played pretty well, very well, but there was nothing from Shevchenko today.
And we highlighted that, didn't we? The bet, you know, if you looked at the naked eye, you
mentioned it a few times, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Shevchenko was a little bit, but I think sometimes in these 250 events, you should probably a little bit cautious in terms of what you do, because the movement on the odds is very much very, very heavy, much more heavy than you would see in a major or in a 1,000 event. Okay, let's move on.
Heavily bet and he lost. So.
Sorry?
Our guy was heavily bet and he lost. So,
yeah, well,
it swings around about, isn't it?
Swings around. But let's move along to tomorrow. We have a couple of matches to preview here in Estoril. And the first match is two tour veterans. There's two tour veterans chatting about the match, but there's two tour veterans actually playing the match tomorrow. It's Richard Gasquet up against Dominic Thiem. Richard Gasquet going along about, he's 38 years of age now, up against Dominic Thiem, who's...
he's 37. He will be 38 in June. You've aged him by a couple of months, but yeah.
Yeah, but I always put... I'm 51 in June, but I always say I'm 51 because it's, you know...
Fair enough. Rounding it up.
Richard Gasquet up against Dominic Thiem. Dominic Thiem is a favourite here at -175. Richard Gasquet is +138. If you look at the spread, it's 2.5. Dominic Thiem giving up 2.5 is -110. Richard Gasquet receiving 2.5 is -115. If we look at the total, it's very high. It's 22.5, -117 for under, -109 for over. The head-to-head, they've played a lot of times together. It's 3 wins apiece, but you have to go back to 2023, the last time they met in Monte Carlo. Dominic Thiem won 6-1, 6-4 on the clay, and that was the only time they met on clay. But a lot of those matches, to the first time they met was in 2015, pretty much irrelevant. Their clay form this season is pretty identical. Richard Gasquet is 3 wins and 3 losses, and Dominic Thiem is 2 wins and 2 losses. How do you pick the bones out of this one? I think this is quite a tricky little match to start with.
I'm quite keen on Dominic Thiem here. He's talked in recent days about his wrist. He said, I'm going to quote him here, he said, even though my wrist isn't 100%, every win feels incredibly beautiful and meaningful. I have to listen to the body, so I cut down the intensity of practice. He went on to elaborate about how his wrist, since that really bad injury that he had, which he's never been able to come back from. You know, I said many times on this show, this Dominic Thiem comeback isn't happening. And I don't think it can happen because this wrist of his is a virtually a career-ending injury for him. It's not technically ended his career, but it's highly unlikely that he's ever going to get back to his previous levels because he physically can't do it with this wrist that keeps plaguing him. Sometimes he's okay, sometimes he's not so okay. But you should be beating Richard Gasquet on clay at this stage of Gasquet's career. I mean, Gasquet was the luckiest of lucky losers, wasn't he? He got beat by Luca Puy in qualies, looked extremely tired. He kept talking to his coach saying, "I'm done, I'm done." I don't know whether that was in French or English, but
les doom, les doom.
It could have been. My French isn't great. Spanish is all right, but French not so much.
I can do the Spanish. Que doom, que doom.
Yeah, that's not technically correct. But let's move on from there. Whatever he said he's done. And he got lucky because Davidovic Fokina pulled out of the tournament with a tooth infection. Of all things,
so you've had a few of them.
Not an infection, but a problem with the crown. Yeah, I had to go about four or five times tonight. It's all right now at the minute. Touch formica. So Gasquet took his place in the draw and inherited Davidovic's bye. So he's gone from losing in the qualies to playing in the second round without doing anything. But if we look at the last 12 months on clay at main level, Gasquet 20% win rate and a service points 110 points, one total of 97, a service hold and break total of 98. Very mediocre stats. Dominic Thiem, 62% win rate, 101 service points, 110 points, one total, and 103 in his whole break total. So considerably better stats from Thiem, and you would expect that. At this stage of his career, Gasquet needs a quick surface. I remember watching him in Marrakesh this time last year. I think it was against the aforementioned Alexandra Muller. It was heavy that day as well. The slower it is, the worse it is for Gasquet. He just hasn't got the legs anymore to really chase all these balls down. The power differential is quite key in this one as well. Team's got a lot more power, even with this dodgy wrist. If you look at that match, the only match in their head-to-head that is really relevant, which was a year ago, I think it was in Monte Carlo on the clay. Team's heavier weight of shot that day in slow conditions was the key difference. And his better pop on serve. 87% on first serve, Dominic Thiem won that day compared to 62% for Gasquet. So assuming Thiem's wrist is all right, I'm pretty confident that Thiem is the likely winner of this one. I haven't got the current odds in front of me, but -2.5 or -3.5 games on the handicap is something that might interest me there.
-2.5 games, the handicap is -110. Dominic Thiem on the money line is -175. You might want to put it in a parlay. I thought Dominic Thiem was a big price to win the tournament, 40-1. I mentioned it. You know, I just thought it was a big, big price. But anyway, legs to go deep, I don't know.
It's his wrist. I just think he can't do what he wants to do anymore. He can in flashes and spells, but I don't know whether I'd expect him to go the whole way and win a tournament. It's possible, of course, but you know, it depends how his wrist is.
Yeah, -175. The bet for Sean is a lean. Is it lean, Sean, official bet?
Yeah, I want to back him, but I'm concerned about this wrist. But if I was betting this one, I would certainly be involved in Thiem either to win it or on the handicap, -2.5, -3.5, something like that. I think he should win this one reasonably comfortably.
Yeah, if you go to the BetRivers website, -2.5 is -110. If we look at 3.5, I'm trying to find the 3.5. We can go 4.5 is +210. I can't find the 3.5 anyway, but you'll find it on the BetRivers website.
It would be probably about 2.2, 2.3, yeah. Something like that, I think. Yeah. So certainly plus money anyway, that's for sure.
-2.5, -110, -4.5, +210, 3.5, probably about +110. Head across there is 29 different markets available on the Dominic Thiem. Richard Gasquet match in Estoril tomorrow. Hopefully we get some good weather tomorrow. The weather forecast is good. There's no rain tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Okay. So we should be okay with the weather in Estoril. And the action starts that match at 5 a.m. It's a very, very early start.
Is that on it? It's not in the schedule, to be honest. Is that the first one?
Well, we haven't got the schedule, but the order of play starts at 5 a.m. So it's 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, well, they've got a backlog, haven't they? I think this will probably be a bit later, but we'll see.
Yeah, so the first match, 5 a.m., make sure you get the bets on early. That's what I'm trying to say. Get them in early. Don't wait. Don't leave it too late because Dominic Thiem could be in action late, but he could be in action early. Okay, another match we are going to speak about in this tournament in Estoril over in Portugal is our tournament pick, Lorenzo Musetti. We were both very, very confident about Musetti. He's up against a tough opponent, though, here, Nuno Borges. The local player is playing. He's having a brilliant year. Musetti is -195. You would expect him to win this. Borges is +155, but the spread here is 1.5. Musetti giving up 1.5 is -162. Borges receiving 1.5 is +125. And again, the total here is 22.5 with under the favourite at -125. If you look at the head-to-head, it's not much to see because they've never played each other before. But Musetti, we mentioned him in the show yesterday or on Sunday, whenever it was. I can't remember.
Sunday, yep.
I don't know what
it's bank holiday.
Where I am,
confusing. But Sunday, yeah.
Well, we spoke about him. We were very glowing with our talk about Mazzetti. This is a tough match, though. I think this is probably one of his most difficult matches. Borges obviously is a player that's improving and a good year, and obviously with the local support. I think this is a difficult little match, but I am confident about our outright pick. But I am slightly concerned about this match. Should I be worried?
No. Okay. I think Mazzetti will win this. I think Mazzetti will. I watched all of Borges yesterday against Luca Poi, and he was so bad, Borges. I mean, he's always a nervous starter. I think I backed him at this tournament last year. And he lost in straight sets to Quentin Alice as a -150 favourite. Yesterday, he was a point away from losing in straight sets again to another Frenchman, Luca Poi, as a -217 chance. He's so nervy here. Pretty much all the Portuguese players that I've ever seen play here are very, very nervous. I don't know whether it's just because it's the only tournament Portugal has, you know, the only chance they have really, other than Davis Cup, to kind of play on their home soil, so to speak. But he was dreadful. He gets so nervous. He got bageled in the first set by Luca Puy, who didn't even have to do that much. Then he had to save a match point to avoid, as I said, going out in straight sets. But the thing that he did, he obviously relaxed once he got into it in set two. But the thing that let Luca Puy down is the thing that always lets Luca Puy down, which is his first serve percentage. You know, he's had so many problems over the years, Puy, with it, that first serve percentage. It dropped to about 50, which isn't great, to about 30 in the final set. And that did allow Borges to grab the win. That said, he might find this a better set of circumstances for him, because there's no pressure on him as underdog against Mazzetti. It could be a nicer situation. You know, the crowd behind him not really expecting him to win. They were expecting him to beat Alice. They were expecting him to beat Puy. I don't think they'll expect him to beat Mazzetti, but you know, he's a slow start. He's a nervous start. Let's see how he does again against Mazzetti. Last 12 months at main level on clay, very heavily towards Mazzetti in favour of statistics. Borges, 44% win rate and a service points won and return points won total of 98, which is 1 point better than Gasquet. And a service hold and break total of just 93, which is not even as good as Richard Gasquet. Now, let's compare that with Lorenzo Mazzetti. 65% win rate. Service points won and return points won total of 106. Service hold and break total of 112. Much of that differential comes on Mazzetti winning much more return points. Borges doesn't return that well on the clay. Mazzetti won 7% more return points, and he breaks serve 14% more often than Borges does on this surface. So statistically, it's all very much in favour of Mazzetti. The odds, I think, are as close as they are, because it's Mazzetti's first match on clay since last summer. But I took the opportunity to take a look at what Mazzetti has done in his opening match on clay at main level of the year, and he's won all four that he's played. Opening match of the year on clay, main level, won every one for the last 4 years. He was playing a lower level before that. So no obvious problem with Mazzetti transitioning to clay. Mazzetti here for me. I'm kind of a little bit surprised that the odds are quite as close as they are. Mazzetti.
So Mazzetti, it's very unlike you to be so confident on two heavy minus money favourites. So the Mazzetti...
I'm not saying I'd back him at that price. I'm just saying
the Mazzetti and Dominic Thiem parlay plays plus 140.
I would expect them both to win, yeah.
Would you wouldn't put anyone off that?
I do expect them both to win. I hope Mazzetti is going to win. I'm not sure that Borges is in this class. The only way I think that Borges can win this is if Mazzetti is extremely rusty on the clay, which, as I said, in previous years, he hasn't been. I wouldn't put anybody off backing the parlay of those two. They're both, statistically, they both should have a reasonably good day. They should both win anyway.
So where's the angle? What's the bet here? How do we get with them?
If I'm backing Mazzetti, I haven't seen all the odds, but I would be tempted on the handicap again, -2.5, -3?
No, 1.5. 1.5 is a heavy favourite. It's -162.
Okay, so what's 2.5 or 3.5?
2.5 is... I can't find it in the moment. Hold on a second.
These are the only four matches that we have odds for that we can talk about. So these are chosen for us in a way. It's not necessarily that I've chosen these for their great betting angles, but Mazzetti 2-0 is also slightly riskier option given that it's he's coming back from the hard, but he has won his opening match on clay, as I say, mainly in straight sets. I would expect him to win this.
2-0 Musetti is available at plus 123, and minus 2.5 for Musetti is minus 110.
Yeah, minus 2.5 would be reasonable. If you look at these bear statistics, he's miles ahead of Borges. So if you're a Borges backer or fan, you're hoping that Musetti has a bad day, and Borges plays an awful lot better than he did against Luca Puy and Quentin Halys here last year.
Yep. So two favourites in Estoril, weather permitting. Hopefully I'll be there tomorrow. You can follow my action.
You can cheer on Musetti.
Well, I won't be at the tennis tomorrow. I'll be at the I'll be at the tennis on Thursday.
This may well be Thursday. It's just that this is the only two matches set for now.
Yeah, hopefully we will be there. Don't you worry about that. If I'm there, I will be cheering him on, and I'll be doing everything I can because I've bet him to win the tournament. So I'll be definitely cheering him on. So Musetti and Dominic Thiem in Estoril, the double plays, the parlay plays plus 140. You can follow the adventures of myself, and I'm going out with Lord Oakwell. Simon Holden will be in Portugal tomorrow. You can see all our trips there at the tennis on our socials at Because We Win on Twitter and on Instagram. Okay, there's another couple of tournaments. There's a tournament in Marrakesh. We can't talk about any matches there because we don't know anything yet. We're recording this now about 5:15 over in the UK, which is 12:15 over Eastern time. And we don't really know the action tomorrow, but check the Bet Rivers website out. They have a full host of bets on there. So we've got two matches we are going to concentrate over in Houston, on the clay over in Houston. If you never watch the show on Sunday, just give us a little bit of background about the clay at Houston. It's not as slow as the European clay by any means in imagination.
Yeah, it's a different type. It's an American fast dry clay, which is different to European clay in the sense that it's laid on top of a hard surface. Some players can find it slippery. Some players have complained about that. It's normally quicker because it is laid on top of that sort of hard surface. It was also very quick in the past for a couple of reasons. One, they used to use the Wilson US Open balls there, which are very light, quick balls. The other reason is that a lot of American players like Isner and Opelka and all these guys, they used to play it. So that is immediately going to bump up the statistics in terms of first serve points, won aces and service holds and all that stuff. But it's quicker than your general European clay. And the weather in Houston at the minute is quite good as opposed to last year, which was a washout. I think it's supposed to be 26 degrees and sunny on Wednesday. And also, I think Thursday and Friday are supposed to be pretty hot and sunny as well. So when you're playing on clay, generally, if the court's been baked a bit by the sun, it generally plays a bit quicker. The balls will fly through the air a little bit quicker. So it's a tournament that features, generally speaking, more tie breaks than the other clay tournaments, even though it actually rivals some of the clay tournaments that are played at altitude. This is sea level Houston, but it features a similar amount of holes, first serve points won, and tie breaks to tournaments that are played at altitude.
And that's going to be good news to the number one seed, Ben Shelton, who's in action against Zizou Bergs, the Belgian. Ben Shelton is minus 335 and a very, very heavy favourite. Bergs is plus 240. The spread here is 2.5. Shelton giving up 2.5, minus 175, plus 125 for Bergs. And the total is minus 110, the pair at 22.5. Before we go on to the match, did you see the video of Bergs when they asked the question?
No.
They asked him about what does he think of clay? In the surface, and he gave a 2-minute interview about a physio called Clay. It's quite funny. You have to look at about it. So Clay's a really good guy. He's a great guy.
And then, who was he talking about?
It was called about some physio called Clay.
Why would an interviewer be asking him about that?
Well, they were asking him about Clay in the surface.
Why would he think that they're asking about?
I don't know. But he gave his answer was all about, oh, Clay's really good. Yeah, he looks after my. And then we said no. And they had to cut an interview and said, oh no, it's we're on about the surface. And this guy called Clay was just standing there going like this.
Was it in a different language to his own? Is that why he got confused?
Well, he speaks better English than me, to be honest with you. So
I've not heard him speak. I don't think Zizou, but I don't think I've ever heard him say anything. So I'm not sure.
If you can get onto YouTube or you can go onto Twitter, look for the clay interview with Zizou Bergs. It's quite funny actually.
I haven't seen that. I'll have a look.
But he's an underdog, 240. Give him a chance here. The conditions are going to suit here, Ben Shelton, aren't they?
I think he's got a reasonable chance. He could certainly test him. At least for a while. It's not like Shelton's in particularly great form at the minute. Two attacking players, these two, who should be very strong on serve in these conditions that I just talked about, perhaps not so good on return. Bergs has won 73% of his first serve points at main level in his last 10 matches. That goes back over a year. And Shelton's won 75% of his first serve points at main level in the last 12 months. So we all know Shelton's big server wins a lot of first serve points. Bergs wins almost as many at this level, just 2% fewer. Both men only win 34% of return points at this level. So in the quick clay conditions where 72% of first serve points are won on average in Houston, and the fact that it's Shelton's first clay match since, you know, the French Open last year, a tight first set feels like a decent play here. Bergs has already played a match. He played yesterday against Patrick Kipson. And both of those guys, Bergs and Kipson, won 78% on their first serves. And there was only one break of serve in the match. Looking further at what Bergs has done against the better opposition so far in his career, he's played three matches, as Bergs, against top 20 opponents. And all three of those openings, of the opening sets of those matches, have gone to exactly 12 games. And that was against Rublev, Kachanov, and Tsitsipas. So for me, the obvious play here is over 10 and a half games in set one. I couldn't see the odds on this earlier. I think it was around about 2-1 when I looked earlier on. Over 10 and a half games, I think that's the way to go. We're a bit struggling with some of the lines at the minute. We haven't got them all, but that's my bet here.
Yeah, over 2.5 games, 2-1, around about that plus 200. But you have to check the Bet Rivers website out. This match doesn't start, or the matches don't start till 1 p.m. tomorrow afternoon Eastern time. So there's lots of time to
it
head
could
across.
Could be a good 24 hours, couldn't it?
Yeah. So you've got lots of time there. But we're leaning towards the over 10.5, looking for the first set to be a long set. Shelton matches are ridiculously long, and hopefully that Zizou Bergs doesn't need clay. You know, the physio doesn't. Hopefully, he plays well on clay and doesn't need the assistance of clay. But we think that one might be a little bit long. There isn't really markets available as of yet, but I'm sure nearer the time, over 30 different markets available on this match in Houston. The final match is quite an interesting one for me. It's Nakashima against Hichikata. Nakashima's minus 235. Hichikata's plus 175. 2.5 is the spread. Nakashima's a minus 138 favorite, giving up 2.5. Total, though, high, 23.5. Over is minus 110 and under, around about minus 120. This one here, when I looked at it, I thought straight away this could be a long match. And the odds here suggest it could be a long match. 23.5 is the line here. Never met each other before. Hichikata beat Christopher Eubanks in round one, and Nakashima beat a qualifier. What do you think here?
Similar sort of way of thinking. Nakashima was impressive in his first clay match of the year against Djokovic. Went unbroken, won 79% on first serve. Again, very good number on his first ball. Similarly, Hijikata was only broken once and won 78% of his first serve points against, admittedly, a weak returner in Eubanks, but Nakashima's not exactly a great returner either. Nakashima's been working with Mariano Puerta in recent months, who a lot of people will probably remember from the French Open. Finally, I think it's 2005, he made the French Open final against Nadal. So he's been working with him since last October, I think, Nakashima. So that should be of good use during the clay swing, assuming that Puerta doesn't give him any of his any of the substances that he eventually got banned for. At least, I think it was twice Puerta got banned. Anyway, let's hope he's not going to be doing that. So he did look well prepared, Nakashima. He was impressive in that first, certainly for a first clay match of the year. Should he be this short, though, against Hijikata? I'm not convinced. He's plenty short enough. Last 12 months at main level, all surfaces. Slight advantage to Nakashima, but not hugely so. Service points won and return points won total of 100. A service hold and break total. Sorry. Service points won and return points won total of 102. And a service hold and break total of 100. Hijikata also has a service hold and break total of 100. And his service points won and return points won total is 99 over the last 12 months on all surfaces. So not a huge great advantage for Nakashima. So you'd make him favorite, but you wouldn't make him quite the short, or I wouldn't anyway. Nakashima is the more experienced man on clay at this level. He's played 14 matches, Nakashima, at this level. Hijikata has only played that one, which was against Eubanks. But at all levels, they've played pretty much the same number of matches on clay. I think 37 and 38, respectively. So I'm not sure about this price on Nakashima. I mean, he only breaks serve Nakashima 15% of the time at main level, playing 0.27 tie breaks per set. So in these conditions, if I was betting in this one, I certainly wouldn't back Nakashima at that price. I'd be leaning again towards my favorite with Nakashima, which is set one overs. Again, I don't think we've got all the odds, all the lines for this yet, but it's, I imagine you'd probably get a slightly better price on this than you would about the other one.
What kind of line were we looking at? 10.5, maybe
over 10.5.
I should 210.
I should imagine. Yeah, I would say something like that. Yeah, I haven't seen the odds.
Where would be the cutoff line? 185 plus 185 or something like that.
I think you'd want at least 2-1, right, for this. So if you can get that, you might even get bigger than that.
Okay, so we're looking at the over 10.5 in set one in both matches in Houston, Shelton against Bergs, Hishikata and Nakashima. We haven't got the lines yet, but we're predicting around about 2-1 plus 200. If you can get bigger, great. But anything around that line, that's where we want to be concentrating on in these two matches here. Obviously, like I said, we are recording this at a bad time. The rain delay in Estoril, with a backlog in tennis matches here. We've still got matches that we've actually predicted on Sunday show that haven't even started yet. So we have to do these matches now because of the time. But the lines will come up. You've got loads of time for them. 1 o'clock Eastern time, as I say, in Houston, the matches start. So that is on Wednesday. So check the Bet Rivers website out there. And we're going to go for leaning towards over 10.5. Now, it's very hard for you, Sean, to actually say we've got an official bet or we haven't got an official bet because we don't really know much of the odds. But where are we? Yeah. Where are we? Just all lean today, or are we going to go from one official pick?
Well, we can't really do the official pick because we haven't got the odds.
Yeah.
We can say, I mean, I know what the odds are going to be roughly. Whether we can do that or not, I don't know.
No, I think we'll leave it. I think what we'll do is we'll leave it. We'll leave it for day. We're going to go for...
It would be the Bergs, Shelton one, the overs, I think, on that.
Yeah. Shelton Bergs over 10.5 is our pick, but... We can't really say because we don't really know what price we should to record it. So we're going to go for 10.5. That will be an official pick if it was around about 2-1. So if it comes up with those kind of prices, I would definitely take a bet on that. So Shelton Bergs over 10.5, Gasquet team over in Estoril and Borges Musetti. We like the two favourites, plus 140 for the parlay. We're not putting you off that play. Hishikata Nakashima, again, over 10.5 games is a lean, but we don't know the price. Anything around about 2-1. That's it.
That's it.
That is it for today. Remember, you can follow us on all our socials at Because We Win on Instagram and on Twitter. Follow that Instagram account. Lots of action going to be coming over the next few days. Myself and Simon Holden will be in Portugal, in Lisbon. We're going down to Estoril for the tennis. We'll be at the tennis on Thursday. We give you some updates from there. You can follow the action there on our Instagram page. You can also download the podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. And also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Any comments you have on there, please feel free. We'll answer everything you say. We've got any questions you want, anything you want answered, any questions you have for Sean and myself, we will give you a response, no problem whatsoever. Sean, thank you very much for your time. We're back again tomorrow. I'll do a podcast tomorrow. Hopefully we have some more tennis matches to talk about. Hopefully some more in-depth matches. Hopefully some more picks. And hopefully less rain. That is what we're hoping for in Estoril. That's it for today. Enjoy your day. Good luck with your bets. And we'll see you all again tomorrow. Take care.